Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I think I've gotten it down to about 18 seconds. I can take that thing down. It's unbelievable. We got the new one, still playing with it. It's unbelievable. I love the little clip on to your shirt that you can kind of run the machine from. It's awesome. My son loves that one. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're sick of Zoom calls, if you're sick of, you know, diving everywhere and looking for what you need, our roadmap will help you become a better basketball coach. There's lots of great resources out there, but a lot of them are run by people that are college coaches or aren't teaching stats all day and then jump into the gym and have to deal with the everyday things 24/7 that a high school coach or a youth coach has to deal with. So come over, let me help you become a better basketball coach, teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
And I would just play man. I think that's better for them as basketball players in their future. But then I would have tweaks to your man. Like maybe we're having a switching man. Maybe we're having a pack line or a sagging man where we're not going to give up anything in the paint, but we're going to give you threes with a closed out hand. Maybe we're going to trap in the corner, man. So I would tank if you don't have enough time to teach him the 2-3 probably. So I'd tank it. That's fine. Man's our foundation, but then I would tweak off of that man. So again, going back to stopping those runs, maybe we go from switching man to non-switching man or whatever it is. I don't know your personnel well enough, but that's what I would simplify in that stretch. And even run man in the full court. Don't worry about a zone press. Worry about man press. We'll just run and jump. We'll run and take angles away. So I would simplify at this point because you're halfway through your season probably. That's what I would do.
Yeah, we are. They've also run a 1-3-1. And the reason for that is I didn't want to overcomplicate it. It's because a team beat us with a 1-3-1. And so I wanted to teach them how to attack it.
Yep.
So therefore, they were playing defense as well.
Yep. So that's a great thing. We did that yesterday and the day before too. We're playing a team tomorrow. Some of the stuff they do, it's like, all right, well, we'll put that. We have to work on it anyway. So that's a good thing. 1-3-1 is an easy one. The only problem with 1-3-1 is rebounding a little bit sometimes.
And on a 1-3-1, how do you deal with rebounding? Do you have everyone?
Everybody. Yeah. Because you tend to have a small guy in the bottom. So you're going to need those wings to go to the boards hard.
Yeah. So we do the 1-3-1, and we have tried that a few times, and it's created like when we need something, like a bit of energy.
Yep.
It just mixes it up, and we trap. We do just like a soft trap on the wings, and then a more significant trap in the corner. So that's
Then you trap in the corner with here. So stop your share for a second.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Again, I apologize for my drawings, but I don't have my thing out. Because I was literally running in the door from practice. So the easiest thing. So the drops on a 1-3-1 are super easy initially. Let's do this one.
And do you go the half court or
three? I do it. We do it both. We extend it, but anyway, let me draw it down here. So if you do it in the half court, half court's probably the easiest. I tend to put my point guard on the bottom. I tend to put my athletic wing up here. Let's put three. I always put my five in the middle and then two and four. So the way it works is that you wanted to trap in the corner, you said?
Yeah, and we sometimes sort of set a soft trap in the wing as well.
In the wing. So what I do is I tell two and three, I let three decide when we're going to trap high, and he yells go, and then he'll just go. But anyway, when the ball is on this side, four should be sinking. When the ball is on this side, when the ball is on four's side, then two is sinking. But anyway, so if I let me get rid of that. So
he's going to the weak side elbow. Is that what you're saying?
So so five's wing. One works baseline to baseline.
Yeah.
Yep. Five works a triangle from low block to low block to where he is right there. But he must front. So let's say the ball is, let me put where most people run a 2-1-2. Okay, so let's say the X on top has the ball. Let's say X1 has the ball and passes it to X3.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 and 1 are going to trap. Okay, yeah. Five isn't responsible for the low block because that's where 3 wants to pass it. So yeah. 5 has to front there. 3 sits in the elbow.
Yeah.
And 4 is down as low. I was yelling at one of my guys today. Low is the lowest. So he's got to guard two guys. So he's got to get low because it's easier to see people in front of you than behind you.
He can't be higher than the weak side X.
Yes. Yes. The one right here. This one. Yep. So he's just got to get low, and then he's got to read the pass that 3 will probably make is opposite high. So he's just got to read that window, but he's got to. So as the ball is on this side, 4 is sinking. If the ball is over here with X2, then 2 is sinking. So 2 is kind of on this back and forth, and same as 4 is. 5 just has this little triangle right here. That's all 5 has to do. 1 has this baseline, and 3 is the kid that's just kind of, he's your steel kid. I tell him take high post and then read eyes, because if 3 can't pass to the low block, then 3 is going to look to pass it back out to 1, and this is the one you're going to step in and get the steal.
Yeah. So I have a men's team in the local rec league.
Yep.
And they play a 1-3-1, and the guy at the top, he gets so many fast break buckets.
Right.
Still, he's a really quick athletic guy, and he's off.
Yep, and it's super athletic, kid that anticipates, kid that would run secondary in a like American football. Yes, it's in, but I tell him to don't go for the steal right away. Sit at the elbow and watch. You got to watch.
Okay, that's really helpful. I've screen grabbed there.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And then one of the hardest things to teach English players is because you teach them the zone and then you realize they've got to leave their zone depending on where the ball is, which confuses, if that makes sense. So.
Right. That's why I'd stick with the man. I'd stick with teach them the man principles, teach them the help side. That's the easiest way to go, I think.
Okay. And then, so that was it for the video, really. I mean, I had a few questions.
Okay. Go ahead.
You got any more time?
Yeah, absolutely. You're the one that's up late. Shoot, I haven't even eaten dinner yet.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's only 5 o'clock. The dogs have eaten, but I haven't eaten. It's only 5 o'clock. It's not even close to dinner time.
Fish tacos tonight. So I don't know if you can see my screen.
No, I see your basketball screen. Yes.
Oh, right. So you're not actually seeing my desktop screen.
No. So you can close this out. Okay. Now, if you share, you can be able, you should be able to share your desktop.
Oh.
So if you hit share, there's going to be little boxes of different things. There you go. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So these are my, some things I was just jotting down.
Okay. In the last
So it's, you know, like I said in my emails, I'm still new to the game. I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm just, I love it. I read every train journey to work. You know, I'm obviously joining the Teach Heaps thing.
Yep.
And meeting other professional teams. And so a lot of this is new to me. I'm trying to be the best I can. But things like timeout strategy.
Okay.
I'm still learning.
So the first question is motivating. If you figure out number one, you'll be really rich. But
yes, that's right.
I mean, but this is somebody that's done it for 30 years. So the motivating part, you have to start thinking, because this is why I think sometimes same gender has an easier, I think I have an easier gig coaching boys than I would teaching girls, because I know what a 14-year-old and 15-year-old boy kind of thinks about. Yeah, so when you're motivating them, you have to think back to when you were 14 and 15 and, you know, things you have to try to get into their shoes about what motivates them, you know, what pride, all that kind of, that's how I think you can motivate. It says, how do you motivate players? Well, you have to look at the age they're at. What's driving them? Is it their phones? Is it their girls? Is it the school? Is it winning? Is it playing? Is it, you know, that's how you motivate, I think.
So the problem I have with that is that it seems that their motivation is basically minutes and looking great, scoring loads of points. And
It is.
12 players I have, and I rotate about 9, to be honest.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's good. But yeah, I need to think about that.
You need to think about, yes. I mean, that's like an hour discussion, but it's like, so timeout strategy. So what's specifically about timeouts?
I mean, I go with my gut. Like I call them when they're going on a run, or when I think my players need a rest, if I've only got a few players, or I want to try something new, but I don't really know if I'm doing it right or.
Yeah. So why the question you have to ask yourself is why you're taking the time out. You know, you want to take time. I'm going to someday die with lots of timeouts left, because I like them to fight through it. But I'm also dealing with older boys a little bit. But so the timeout strategy, I think you got to have a plan for why you're calling the timeout. So usually I use it to try to stop runs. So if I feel the momentum shifting, and then I leave them alone. So if it's a full timeout, I leave them alone for 15, 20 seconds. I tell them to sprint over, get a drink, and sit, because then I gather my thoughts. And you're by yourself probably. So you have to figure out they're only going to remember one or two things from your timeout.
Yeah.
So I use timeouts for change. Like they're in a run, so we're in man, we're going to go to zone, vice versa. We're going to call a special. You got to convince them, okay, they are on a run. I took the timeout, but now here's how we're going to counter it. So again, you're playing kind of psychological warfare with your boys, but it's, you know, you got to convince them, I took the timeout so we could do this. And that's why things are going to change. So, but I would keep it, the coaches talk too much in timeouts. And they give too much information. So if you have 4 things you want to say, say it in 2 things, because that's all they're going to remember.
Okay. I loved a podcast you did recently. It was on halftime speeches and end of game speeches.
Yeah.
And I took a lot from that podcast, because I've been known to sit down and talk quite a lot at the end of a game. And you said something about they're not going to remember anything at the end of a game.
Zero.
Yes. Remember a couple things in a timeout. And so I'm trying to do that. And then I'm trying to do it in practice. So in practice, I'm going to write just 1 or 2 things to focus on.
Yep. And to be honest with you, especially early in my career, I'd practice timeouts. Like practice them practice them during practice. You know, take 5 timeouts during practice. The kids will like it. They get a minute break. They get some water, but then you get to practice. Okay, here's what's going on, guys. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't have to even tell them you're doing it, but just kind of psychologically, it's good. Yeah. And then, you know, again, it's going to be What I do, especially with younger kids, is during the timeouts, I'll ask them, okay, what are the things we need to remember as they're leaving? I'll call on John. John, what's the key for what are we doing? What are we doing? And I want them to have to, because that will focus them in. It goes back to, getting them to focus. You really want to get them to listen to what you're saying, because again, they're thinking 18 things, and I just missed the last shot and blah blah blah. So if they know that they might get called on, they'll focus more. The classroom strategy, but it works.
I like that, because we often will do scrimmages, and at the end of practice, we might have them run for 4 or 5 minutes and then stop to sort of simulate that timeout.
Right.
We're playing intensely until a timeout. So
yep.
I could do that. And that makes sense, because they're practicing, so I should practice too.
Yep. That's the way you have to look at it too, like with special situations and all that kind of stuff. I mean, as I get older too, it's hard to remember all the stuff. So I need practice just like they need practice. Right. And same thing with the timeout.
Okay. Now, these next two bullet points are probably the thing that I find the hardest, and I really would love to master, which is I can just get a little bit lost in the game. And it's easy to call a timeout, and I can say, right, we need to box out more, or we need to stop penetration. There's so many things to watch. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Yes. I coached my son when he was playing Little League, when he was baseball, when he was growing up. And it's like you have all this time between pitches and baseball. Basketball is like, I compare one to like the symphony and one to like a rock concert. Coaching basketball is like there's so many things going on.
Yeah.
So, and the object is you become a spectator, and you start watching, and you're watching the ball, and you're doing things you don't want the officials to do.
Yes.
So I force myself to watch off ball. Hey everybody, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please subscribe and like, no matter where you listen to podcasts, whether you're jogging, walking the dogs, walking the kids, playing at the pool, go over and subscribe. Apple would be great. 5-star. If you're going to do a 2-star, don't do it. Spotify or wherever you listen. We would also love if you went over to teachhoops.com. It's what allows us to keep the lights on here and keep things a chugging. So go over and check that out. 14-day free trial. Everyone's got to work on their game and their craft. Come over and help us. And then the last thing is, if you're thinking of looking for other podcasts, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. Those are two other ones. And we might have a fourth one in the tank, but we'll tease you on that one. All right, let's head back to the podcast. Okay. That's one way that I get myself to focus on what's going on in the game a little bit.
Yeah.
I also, I don't think I have it here with me. I also have a little black bind, little, oh, I don't have it. It's in my backpack. It's in the room. But anyway, I have a little black binder that's about this big, and I write things down during the game. Okay. Sometimes I have an assistant do it. It's just a little thing that sits in the back of my,
Oh, I've lost you.
Hold on. You lost me because I'm yelling at my son. Hold on 1 second. sorry, I'm yelling at my son. I didn't want to yell and ruin your hearing for the rest of your life. So he's going to grab it for me. But anyway, it's a little thing that I carry around, and the boys are always teasing because they want to know. It's like my little black book, but they always want to know what's in the little black book. But anyway, it's stuff that I'm always writing down. Yeah. I'm writing down about my teaching. I'm writing down stuff about Teach Hoops. I'm writing stuff down about my team. But during a game, I'm writing stuff down. Yeah, it's fine. I have two of them. He didn't know which one to grab. So it's literally this big. And nice. I bought it for like $6 on Amazon or something. And it's just a little bind, little thing, and it folds. And you can see, here's my hand, how small it is.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. Literally, there's a pen. I stick a pen, and I'm all that refocuses me. Like, hey, I need to remember this. I need to remember this. So it's kind of that, like, get out of the game mode, get into the coaching mode.
Okay.
Something that's worked for me, but you kind of that and trying forcing myself to watch off ball. Refocuses. Otherwise, you become a fan and you're just watching too many things. So you got to play around with that during practice too. Like, what can refocus you on what you need to do? Like, this is my old one and this is my new one. So this one. But anyway, And that then
that gives you material for the timeouts. And
it does. Well, it gives me material for the timeout. It gives me material for halftime. It also gives me, you know, it's my retro. Like, I'll go back and look. I label it, and I'll go back and look and go, oh, crud, we weren't doing that, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Are you watching defense, individual matchups, offense, body language? When we're on offense, I'm watching defense. When we're on defense, I'm watching their offense, to be honest. I try to watch opposite of what we're doing.
So you watch the opponent's defense?
I do. I'm watching our stuff, but if you're not running our offense, then you're probably not on the floor. So, but I'm also dealing with higher end kids. I'm older kids, so it's a little bit different. So what I have found, the way that, especially young, early in my career, that I was able to deal with this is, it's the reason I don't go to our, like, university games anymore, because I'm not really watching the game. I'm watching stuff, because I trained myself to do that. So it's really hard for me to sit down and watch a game.
You can't enjoy the NBA.
And enjoy it. It really is. Once our season's over and the NCAA or the college in the U.S. starts, I can do it because I'm done with my season, and then I can kind of shift. But if I'm either watching tape, I'm watching something like, I'm watching your game. I'm not really watching the game. I'm watching everybody. That's why I'm yelling stuff at you when we're doing it. So I don't really watch games anymore because I've trained myself not to, but it took a while to get to that point. But I did it by watching games on TV and the NBA and all that kind of stuff. And I really wasn't watching. You know, I don't even watch Wesley anymore for the match. I don't watch him anymore because it's like, I'm not really watching I'm watching all the stuff that's going on. So
that's what I aspire to. So
if
I
can and it's hard. That's really, really hard. Yeah. And I miss that. When I retire, it will be a stretch, but I'll have to switch it. But you can train yourself to do that. And that's a great off season thing, because you can always find games on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah. That's my 2019 goal, is to not enjoy basketball.
I mean, I enjoy it. It's just, I just don't watch it the same way. You know, yeah. And my son's a junior on this year's team too. So it's a little different because I'm kind of watching it from a different perspective, but I keep pulling myself back like, ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. So then what's the next one? Rotating 12 players in 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a little glimpse of the standard, and it gets even worse, you know, like 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yep.
Where it just becomes kids who are active, fit, and like to play.
You're trying to play everybody because it's more recreational?
It's competitive. I mean, this is the National League, and I don't play everyone equally. But I do play everyone. If they come to a game, they will all get on the court. And their parents are all opposite, you'll see. And it's just like difficult. Because you get, you know, this is my first season coaching at this level. And, you know, I'll get comments from parents. And they're quite positive towards me. But, you know, you just get these, you just know they're watching every minute that their son sits on the bench. And so it's difficult.
Yes. So... so you can't be rational with an irrational person. That's the first thing. Parents aren't rational. They love their kids. So you have to do what you think's best. That's the first thing. So your skin will get thicker. Trust me, as you get older, it will get thicker. Yeah. It's a good thing. I mean, it's something I fought early on, because you don't do this because you don't love kids and you want them all to be successful, but you run a talented and gifted program for basketball players. Just remember that. So especially with 12, 11, 10, I would try to put four of your top group in with them. If you're trying to get them some reps, if you're trying to get them a couple minutes. And I always use the analogy, if you put LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and, you know, Wesley on the court, I could go out on that court with the four of them and look okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard you're a baller, so that's different.
Yeah. In the old days, I could play. I could shoot for sure. But anyway, so in a 40-minute game, that's the way, especially with those bottom three, 12, 11, 10, I would try to get them in with your top four or five. So that would be the first thing. And then the next thing would be, you know, the losing thing is going to take care of itself, but you got to think about the game as one of the key points, the beginning of the first half, the second end of the first half, beginning of the second half and the end of the second half. So those are the points where you need your top guys in there.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah. Hold on one second. I was freaking out because I was at like 8% on my computer, so I got to take care of it. Okay. I said you want your core group, your top six or seven, at the beginning of the game, the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, and the end of the game. Those are those bookmarks. So those other kids, those other five, so let's say your top seven have to be in those minutes. Your other five have to go in the middle of the first half, in the middle of the second half.
Okay, that's good, because I've left players. I forgot about players and had to bring them in on the fourth, but I don't want them on.
Yep. And that's where this is. That's where this can come in, because you can write it down like Johnny got in. You know, right. you can even like write them in before the game and go, okay, this kid got in. This kid, so you can kind of it's a self reminder to yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's just this is helpful. Yeah. There's just so many things to watch. I'm trying to. I like the idea that you watch the opposite of the, you know, like the defense.
And it's gonna feel really weird. Go grab a game tomorrow and do it. It will feel really weird.
Yeah, I might just do it tonight. Oh, no, it's quite late. Yeah, I might do it. Because obviously for us Brits, the NBA is on from midnight till 4 a.m.
Oh, God, I never thought of that.
So for the fans of basketball in our country, we don't get a lot of sleep.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Well, yeah, I don't know why. I don't even watch a lot in California at Lakers and stuff. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Mostly East Coast and Central is where most of the everything's kind of built around Central and Eastern, but.
And we've already gone over these other points, but the last one is just, yeah, we were 2 from 13 from the free throw line in December in a game. And it's just like.
That's a tough one. I put on our Facebook group today a drill I did with free throws. It was kind of interesting. You should watch it. And it was just a fun little game. It's like literally like it's the way my brain works. It's like, oh, let's try this and see if it works. And the boys seem to like it. But you always want to make free throws in practice competitive, and you always want to do it somehow in game situations if you can. So, you know, like I did the little drill that you'll see in our Facebook group. I did that today. And then no one left the gym until they made four in a row. Now – that's been up to 8 or 9 in a row. If I know I don't have to go home, because there's always one or two kids that are going to be there for 45 minutes. Like they're not going to make, they're going to get to 6 and they're going to miss. But you can kind of gauge that, how much time you have, blah, 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 things like that. But free throws is a weird thing, cause it's so mental. From someone that shot free throws really well, it's such a mental world.
Right. I mean, I was reading about DeAndre Jordan and Karl Malone, and the way they both have adjusted their free throws through mental habits and change of footwork. And yeah, so because I think
it's like not buying the food and not, if you won't eat the potato chips if it's not in the house. It's like it's a mental game you play with yourself. It's the same thing with free throws. You got to get this mental game going.
Right.
It's the easiest shot in basketball. I tell my boys that all the time. It's the easiest shot in basketball because it doesn't change. The free throw in Madison, Wisconsin is the same as the free throw in Great Britain. It's the same distance. It's the same height with the same ball. It never changes. It's not like a layup. Layups change because you have a defender or, you know, somebody bumps you or that kind of stuff. Free throws never change. They're the same for Steph Curry as they are for you.
Yeah. They go in less in Great Britain.
I don't know about that.
I've also I know I've taken a lot of your time, sorry.
No worries.
Your practice format, I've written down, you mentioned 5 minutes, dynamic movements, skill work, shooting, dribbling, passing, one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, five-on-five, then maybe press breaks, presses, and plays. And then you said you'd always end with a competitive drill or a game or something.
Yep. And then you can always throw the competitive stuff in too. And what I always tell, especially coaches that are starting, it's similar to teaching from someone that's taught a long time. Here's my lesson plan, but the lesson plan changes. You know, right. I'm a whole Madeline Hunter. You got to monitor and adjust your group. So I don't stay with something. If it's not working, I dump it and leave it. I never stay with something because it's not working, but I'm also reading my group. Like we just came off Christmas break. We had a couple of great practices and then we had kind of a dudder. Well, the dud, I had to adjust on the fly. I had this great practice plan, but a third of it got thrown out because they were probably up late watching NBA and didn't go to bed and then had to come in and practice. So, you know, the plans are great, but you kind of got to, especially dealing with 14, 15 year olds, who knows, you know? But that's why, yes, I think having that good basis is good. And then kind of always have stuff in the back pocket. Like today we need to maybe play a little bit more, or maybe we need to, you know, always have something competitive, fun, because they are 14 and 15 year olds. They're no different than the ones in the US. They want to have fun. They want to be competitive. They want to play. They want to play games. So you always got to have that stuff. Like things aren't going well. Let's try that. That might get them refocused.
Well, tonight I had a really clear practice plan, and we got to the school and there's been miscommunication and it was locked and the lights were off and we had to cancel practice.
I'm telling you, that happens. Yeah. We've had the heat off. I mean, everything. Yeah.
Right. And in England, you've got, you know, these sort of courts, you've got like schools and leisure centers and the facilities aren't near as good as America. So
it's because you're not a soccer coach.
Yeah, that's right. The bane of our life in England are like badminton players and volleyball players, because they're the ones stealing all the courts and they're using half a court. And, you know, it's really hard facilities in England and for kids to practice beyond their scheduled practices. It's hard for them to find good hoops. And you go to America, everyone's got a hoop in their, you know, front yard.
Yeah, I got one in my backyard. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. It's under about 6 inches of snow right now, but it's in the backyard, yeah.
It's snowing. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's snowing in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. It's like, this is the Great White North up here where we live. It's like, I was in Florida for a week on vacation, and I came back, and I think it was 15 degrees and about 4 inches of snow I came home to.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's cold.
So I know you've got to go. The last thing was just basically, there's so much information for me, and I'm, you know, you read online. I go to, like, I know a professional team in England, the London Lions. They're not the best team in this country.
Yep.
I've been to their practices, and, you know, they do like a 2-2-1 press, and I'm going to America in January at the end of this month. I'm going to go to the Nike Extravaganza, which is a high school tournament.
Yep.
And just because I know a friend over there, so I wanted to go and watch just the chasm.
Where is that?
It's in Matterday School in Orange County.
Oh, it's in, yep. Oh, that's the real deal. That's a good one. Yep.
Okay. So I wanted to see the massive gulf of, like, some of the best in the world. You know,
It will be good. That Matterday, that's the real deal. They're good. They're legit. They're ranked consistently. That's about 10-hour flight. Is that a direct flight?
Yeah, I'm basketball mad. Like I said, I'm obsessed. So my wife's letting me go. I'm going on my own with a friend. I'm just going to watch basketball. I'm going to some practices in high school. I'm going to take more notes and obviously hope to keep learning from yourself as well. I'm just trying to.
Oh, that would be awesome. We'll get you over. We'll get you in the Midwest at some point too.
We'll get you here sometime. But yeah, thank you so much for
that. No problem. Yeah. No problem. We'll talk again. And next time we'll do it on a Sunday. So we can usually I usually do morning or early afternoon for people that are so far away. But yeah, we'll do that for sure.
Thank you. And what's the deal? Are you able to chat once a month?
Whenever you want. I mean, we'll do office hours now that I'm kind of back. I'm working on the new site. So I'm about a week from feeling like that can go up. And then we'll do office hours. So just watch the Facebook group and stuff for office hours. A group of us will get together. I'll just say, hey, Tuesday at 7, and some of them might not work for you because you're going to be in bed. But I don't sleep. Yeah, so we'll make and then you and I can get on one-on-one call whenever you want. We can make that work. It just got to work it around my schedule and stuff. So sure. Okay.
I really appreciate that, and it's a real sort of honor to be connecting with high school coach and college coach. So I really appreciate that.
No problem. Talk to you soon, Coach.
See you, man. Have a good evening. Bye.
Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. Go over. Make sure you check out our Amazon link down below, www.tchoops.com/Amazon. Bookmark that. Go over and leave us a 5-star review. And we would really love if you became a member of our community. It's Netflix for basketball coaches. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.